Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus has come? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Going to continue on this morning talking about the surprises of Christmas. Here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. When his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, and her promised husband Joseph, being a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss, divorce her quietly and secretly." How many of us at one time really thought we had our life all planned out? Thought you had a career planned, you were going to live this way, you were going to live here. Many of us have taken detours in our life. Amen. And even if those detours have been much more productive and happy than destructive and depressing, the simple fact remains that almost every person has some ideas or plans for their life, and somewhere along the way, it changed. The question is not whether life will ever take a different path than we expected, but what will you do when it does? There's no better example of a couple of young people who had their plans turned upside down than Mary and Joseph. I mean, we looked at Mary last week and all the surprises that happened in a short amount of time in her young life. Today we're going to look at Joseph. Here in verse 18, we read that Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Now, when we read that, we just always take things in the Word as we read them, how we interpret it, how life is today, how society is today. So when we hear the word betrothed, we just think that they were engaged. But when you read the word betrothed, it's much more than that. This is the first step in the Jewish marriage. The betrothal was an establishment of a marriage covenant, not just between a man and woman, but between their families. The bridegroom would take the initiative, and he would travel from his father's house to the home of the young woman that he was going to seek out to be his bride. And he would negotiate with the father of his prospective bride as to the price he must pay to purchase her. See, we think, we hear betrothal, it's a whole different attitude. Amen? Because in those days when a young woman got married, and she would go to live with her husband's family. So they would have another person to do the work, to help out in whatever business they were in, to do those things. This family over here had lost her. And so she was valuable. So there had to be some negotiation going on here. So that was the first thing that would take place. So once the price was agreed upon and the groom paid the marriage covenant price, then the marriage covenant was in place. At that time, there would be a public ceremony that would take place, and the couple would go in front of witnesses into what is called the huppah, or it's the marriage canopy. And it signified to everybody out there that these two families were now in a marriage covenant, that a new household was being planned. Here, the groom would give the bride either some money or a ring as a token of that covenant. They would share a cup of wine to seal the covenant vows. And then after the covenant ceremony and the covenant had been established, the groom would go back to his father's house. This was when the couple entered the betrothal period, which normally lasted for a year. Although they were considered married, they didn't live together, and they didn't have sexual relations. This period allowed the bride and the groom to prepare. The groom was to go and prepare a place for his bride in his father's house. Sound familiar? And while the bride focused on her personal preparations, she prepared her wedding garments. She prepared herself. She prepared the lamps that were to be lit in preparation of the groom's return. So when we read this passage of Scripture, we see somewhere during this betrothal period, Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant. We don't know how far along in that year-long process Joseph and Mary were when Mary was visited by the angel. But we do know that as soon as she heard and received the word, she departed and she was gone for 3 months, visiting her relative Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. We really don't know when Joseph found out, but we do see that he didn't react impulsively out of anger or resentment. The word says, if you're there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but when he had considered this, or he was thinking this over. How we deal with life interruptions and surprises is one of the defining qualities in who we are as people. Our character is not determined when life goes according to plan, but how we react when it doesn't. I don't know if there's any character in the Bible that faces the issue of their life plans being interrupted on an intimate, personal level more than Mary's fiancé, Joseph. The first thing we can take note of in the Scripture is that Joseph showed patience even when he didn't understand what was happening. Before the angel ever appeared to him, it said because he was a just and upright man. He was a man who sought after God. You got to believe that. Mary was a godly woman who obtained a favor of God, but it wasn't no accident that her fiancé, the man she was betrothed to, reacted in the way that he reacted, because he was a godly man. Also, you have to just believe that reading the Scripture. Amen? I mean, you just have to see what happened to him. How long that Joseph thought about this, prayed about it, considered the options, we don't know. But the implication is he didn't make a quick decision. And that in and of itself is a good thing to remember from Joseph's life. And that's, we should act patiently. There's times in our life we shouldn't act hastily. Amen? God is never in a hurry, and we shouldn't be either. Look, hold your place there in Matthew, but look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7. So here's this young man, went through this betrothal ceremony, getting ready to prepare a place for his wife. We don't know how far along he was in the preparation. And then suddenly he finds out that this young girl's pregnant. Had to be shocking. Had to be a punch in the gut. Amen? Had to feel betrayed, hurt. But it says he pondered on these things. He thought about what he needed to do. He didn't strike out in anger. He thought about things. He was patient. Ecclesiastes 7, 8 and 9 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools." So we see the Word of God talks a lot about patience. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the New American Standard reads, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance to one another in love." If there was ever a person who demonstrated that scripture in a spectacular way, it was Joseph. Amen. He lived that out. But look at James 1. James 1. How many of us in haste, how many of us in maybe we were upset about something, made a decision that we lived to regret? Amen. It's pretty common because we react. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, the Passion Translation says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking." We've got to stay patient. Pray about things. That's one of the things that we see about Joseph, is he didn't get upset and lash out. I'm sure he got upset inside. I'm sure he was furious. He was going to divorce her. He's going to put her away and be done with it. Colossians chapter 1, 11 through 12, the Message paraphrase says, "We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us." The natural human tendency is to want a quick fix, to immediately to try to rectify the situation that caused our disappointment, caused our frustration, caused the hurt in our lives. But Joseph's example tells us we need to give God time to work out His plans in our circumstance. Look back at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. So we see this young man had to be heartbroken. Then probably experienced anger, frustration. But he just thought about things. What should I do? And it says here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Reading from the Amplified once again, says, "But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from out of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins, that is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. All this took place that it might be fulfilled which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us.'" When we think about everything that goes along with this scripture, and we think about part of the betrothal, we can understand why God chose this man to be the earthly father to Jesus Christ. When we really examine how Joseph handled the interruptions, the surprises in his life with faith and obedience. His life may have veered off course and took a big detour, but Joseph was still waiting on God. And it's a great example for us. Amen. There in Matthew 1:24 it says, "Then Joseph, being roused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife, but he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." All kinds of things happen here. When we read it, we don't get the whole picture. Someone from a Jewish background that the book of Matthew was written to mainly was the Jewish believers would understand this doesn't make sense. There's all kinds of things happening here that would have happened during this betrothal, during the wedding ceremony, that aren't tradition. Amen? During the betrothal period, although the bride knew to expect her groom after about a year, she didn't know when he was coming. She didn't know the hour. She didn't know the day. He could come earlier. It was the father of the groom who gave final approval for him to return to collect his bride. Just think about that discussion, if you would. Amen? We don't see anywhere that Joseph received anything from his earthly father to go get his bride. It said when he got up, he went and took her, amen, as his bride. Totally against tradition. In tradition, the father says, "Go get her. It's time." There's no mention of some other things here, like the traditional wedding party. When the father would tell the groom to go get her, his groomsmen would go with him. They would have a big procession. And she would have her lamp lit. The parable of the virgins that we read about. They weren't prepared. They didn't take it seriously. But it says that he went. It doesn't say that he took his groomsmen with him. It doesn't say anything about that. Everywhere we see, it had to be a surprise to people. Here's Joseph basically eloping with Mary. In our day and age, we would say that. They ran off together. Didn't have the blessing of his father. We don't see it anywhere. It's never mentioned. Normally, the groom would go get his bride, and he would get her and her female attendants. The wedding party would then have a big procession back to the groom's house. And when they got back, the wedding party had gathered for the wedding. And it was usually at night. Now this is where it gets really interesting to think about. That it just wasn't just something that took place. There was all kinds, had to be surprises to his family, surprises to his friends. His same friends that were probably telling him, you need to divorce her. You need to get rid of her. Right? Wasn't no secret that she was pregnant? His family was probably telling him that. But after their arrival, the bride and groom would be escorted by the other members of the wedding party to the bridal chamber. Prior to entering the chamber, the bride remained veiled so that no one could see her face. While the groomsmen and the bridesmaid would wait outside, the bride and groom would enter the bridal chamber alone. There in the privacy of that place, they would enter into a physical union for the first time, consummating the marriage that had been covenanted earlier. After the marriage was consummated, the groom would announce the consummation to the other members of the wedding party waiting outside the door. Awkward, right? I mean, to us, we think, wow, that is... But none of that happened. None of that took place because it said he took her and he didn't have relations with her until after Jesus was born. So everything about their betrothal, everything about their wedding, everything about the celebration was just trashed. It wasn't there. It didn't happen according to tradition. It was way out of bounds. People had to think that he was crazy. He didn't follow through any of that. And then once he announced it to that, the groom would tell them, then the members of the wedding party, they would go and pass the news of the marital union onto the wedding guest. And upon receiving the good news, the wedding guest would feast and make merry for the next 7 days. And during the 7 days of the wedding festivities, which were sometimes called the 7 days of huppah, the bride remained hidden in the bridal chamber. She never came out. She stayed in there. At the conclusion of those 7 days, the groom would bring his bride out of the bridal chamber. Her veil would be removed so that everybody could see who his bride was. None of those things happened. All we read about, and we read it, and we just casually read over it and pass over it, is that Joseph went and he took her. Amen. Rose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took her as his wife. Didn't have the blessings that we know of. We don't know anything of the details of what took place during those weeks and months leading up to the birth of Jesus after it was discovered. All we know is that Joseph, being a just man, a godly man, listened to what God told him to do, and he did it. We do know that the traditions were broken. Amen. Everything about his life, everything about his plans had taken a bunch of surprising turns. Suddenly all of Joseph's ideas were swept away in an angel visitation. And the realization that instead of building furniture and raising a family, he would also be raising the Son of God. Instead of merely waiting on the day of his wedding, Joseph found himself and his life turned upside down while he waited on Jesus to be born. The things that we can see in the life of Joseph, one of the things is that he modeled a complete trust in God. Henry Blackaby wrote, "The crisis of belief is a turning point or a fork in the road that demands that you make a decision. You must decide what you believe about God." Amen. All of us, there are times in our life when we have to make a decision of what do we believe about God. You may have had some surprises in your life. There's times we have to make a decision of what we are going to believe about God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Says in verse 5, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." Joseph married Mary even when every ounce of reason in him had to be screaming that this was another man's baby that she was carrying. Imagine the thoughts that he had to cast down. Amen. We conjure up things sometimes. The enemy will plant a little seed. "Well, they didn't speak to me at church, so they must be mad at me." Or they, this and that. And it's just nothing there. This was real. Amen. His betrothed bride was found to be pregnant. Surprise. And he didn't just lose it. Amen. He went after God. He sought after God. And then he ended up trusting God. Say, well, he's seen an angel. He had a visitation from God. Doesn't make any difference. I've talked to people. Talked to a young lady one time. She said, "Jesus came into my room, stood at the end of my bed, and said, 'I'm giving you one more chance.'" She was brain dead. She was in a coma. Didn't change her lifestyle after that. She ended up dying of an overdose. You can have all the visitations. You can have an angel speak to you. If you don't believe and you don't take that word to heart and start walking that way, it's not going to make any difference. Amen? He had to watch Mary's belly grow with that baby inside of her for months, not knowing. Amen? He'd heard the word of the Lord, but he knew for a fact he wasn't the father. True trust does not come easily sometimes. Amen? You know, we can hear a great sermon on a Sunday morning and walk out and say, "That was a great sermon, Pastor. That was awesome. That was a great sermon, Clint. That was a great sermon, Jim. That was awesome." And forget by Monday morning what the sermon was about. Amen? I'm sure Joseph was in a battle every day. He had to trust God. The same way we have to do when things are going on in our life, we have to trust God. Amen? He had to wait and wait and wait. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. Hold your place there in Matthew. We'll be back to it here in a second. Had to wait. Things bombarding his mind. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. The Amplified Version reads, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages." He just had to make a choice that he was just going to stay on what he had heard from the Lord. He was going to believe what the Lord had told him. Amen. Sometimes that's all we have. Sometimes that's all we have is the Word. We haven't had an angel visitation. We haven't had an audible voice from God tell us something. Amen. We're just reading the Word. We're trusting the Word to get us through no matter what the situation is in our life, no matter what conflict we're facing, what circumstance has come up. Many times the only thing that we have is the Word, and we have to stand on the Word. And when we start getting all jittery and we start getting anxious and the enemy wants us to get over into fear and the doubt, we got to refocus and come back. And I'm sure Joseph had to do that a lot. Nope, this is what the Lord told me. This is what the Word said. This was the Word of the Lord. This is what the angel told me. And I'm staying focused on that. Amen. Every one of us either has been at some time, or maybe you're in it right now, a situation that you don't completely understand. We can't fathom the reasons why such circumstances have besieged us. Despite sleepless nights and anxious hours, we can't figure a way out. Just have to trust God. Focus on Him. Amen. And that is the biggest thing that we can see also here when we read about the story of Joseph and Mary, is that both of them acted on the Word that they heard. Three times Matthew tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Three times God revealed himself and his will to Joseph. And three times he responded to the Word of the Lord. Two times his response was immediate. Whew, what a lesson that would be for us. If we would just get into the Word. I'm preaching to myself today. I ain't preaching to everybody else. If we would just listen to the Word, when we get a word from the Lord and we read it, if we would just act on it immediately. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. No hesitation. He acted immediately upon the word that he heard. Matthew 2:13. Matthew 2:13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Soon, as he got the word from the angel of the Lord, he acted on it. Amen? How many times in our life have we been sitting somewhere, we were watching on YouTube, or we're listening to a podcast or whatever, and the Spirit of God speaks to us that that's what you need. And we're like, maybe. Could be. No, the right answer is yes. That's what I need. I need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I need to be patient. I need to trust God in His timing instead of me trying to reason it out and wonder why it hadn't happened yet. Amen? I've got to be patient. I've got to trust God and trust in His Word, and I've got to act on the Word. It says that he just immediately got up. It was in a dream. Could have been the same night he had the dream, the way you read it. He could have been sleeping. The angel of the Lord woke him up and said, hey, you need to get out of town. Doesn't appear that he waited too long. It was either the next night or that night there. Got up and left. Then down in verse 19, it says, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Hallelujah. He just got up and did whenever the word of the Lord came to him, he followed it. Trust is demonstrated when we make God's plan our goals and our plan. Proverbs 22. A couple more scriptures and we'll close. The surprises of life, they're going to happen. But how are we going to react? Amen? Proverbs 22:17-21, the Message paraphrase reads like this. Listen carefully to my wisdom. Take to heart what I can teach you. You'll treasure its sweetness deep within. You'll give it bold expression in your speech. To make sure your foundation is trust in God. I'm laying it all out right now just for you. I'm giving you 30 sterling principles, tested guidelines to live by. Believe me, these are truths that work and will keep you accountable to those who sent you. Make sure your foundation is your trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in His Word. Respond to His Word. Faith in Him is trusting in His Word and using it as the basic foundation, how we handle each interruption, each surprise that comes our way. We must put our faith into action just like Joseph did. The tough part of waiting on Jesus when our plans have gone off kilter, they've taken a detour, is maintaining the steadfastness and the perseverance to keep following after God. Because the enemy would want you just to quit. Throw up your hands and say, this doesn't work. This is never going to happen. It's what he wants you to do. We just got to stay focused. Amen? Even when forces inside us and around us try to throw us off. We must obey the word of the Lord even when the urge to quit or give up fills our mind. The fact is, we are to live out our faith under the watchful scrutiny of our families, especially those in our families that are not believers. We're to walk it out, and those who work around us. Because you're going to have pressure from your family to live your lives the way they think you should. Amen? The way that they think you should live your life the way that they would. Co-workers think you should live your life the way the rest of the world does. We need to live our lives the way the Word tells us to live. Amen? When surprises come, when detours happen, we just got to keep on track, on with His Word. Look at Luke 6. We'll close with this. Your family may think you're crazy. Joseph's family had to think that he had done lost his mind. His friends had to think that he had lost his mind. Amen? But he had a word from the Lord and he stayed with it. Amen? Time's crazy. You're crazy for doing that. No, that's what the Word says. Something in here is telling me this is what I need to do. I need to follow after that. We just need to trust God. Amen? Luke 6, 46. The King James Version reads, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Praise the Lord." Amen. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Those storms, those surprises, those detours that come against you, when you are, your foundation is the Word, you're not going to be shaken. Amen? You may take you back a little bit. It may be like, whoa, wait a minute. You have to refocus. But the fact of the matter is, if your foundation is the Word, you will not get swept away. Amen? You will stand. And you will do what the Lord's called you to do. The end result of all this is we see that Joseph submitted to God regardless of what his family thought, regardless of what his neighbors and friends thought. Trust always means submission. That's why trust is so hard. Because we're so unaccustomed to surrendering ourselves. Because when we hear the word surrender, we picture somebody giving up. We figure failure. Somebody that's not strong enough, not good enough. The problem is, in God's vocabulary, when it says surrender, it means victory. Amen? It means trust. It means all those things. It means strength. This Christmas season, you may be facing circumstances that you can't completely understand. You can't figure it out. The lesson that we see in the response of Joseph and Mary to the surprises in their life is a complete trust in God. A complete trust in His Word. Amen. Never being shaken, but just following through and trusting that He's going to bring it to a completion. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we can just put our trust and our faith in Your Word. And that no matter what surprises, no matter what detours come in our life, Father, that we can just find patience by trusting in You. Trusting in Your timing. Trusting in Your plan. Trusting in Your Word, Father. We thank You for that. We praise You for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise.